Hello and welcome to another episode of Could It Be Podcast. For the episode this week, I have jumped on to join Brandy at Be Real Babe Podcast just to provide a bit of an update on how life has been in the last few months. So I did join Brandy in December last year to record an episode to share my breast implant illness story, which I've also shared on my podcast as well. And I've been fortunate enough to have Brandy on the podcast here at Could It Be, where she shares her story of not getting breast implants, luckily. And she just wanted to have a bit of a catch up to see how I was going. So there'll be a few things that you have already heard on Could It Be. There'll be some like small life update stuff. So hopefully you enjoy this one, a sneaky bonus episode with Be Real Babe Podcast. It couldn't have come at a better time because I've been quite sick the last few weeks with COVID and tonsillitis. So it's been great to have that as one to upload, and we'll be back to sharing the stories of other women very soon. Take care.
Hi friends, this is the Be Real Babe Podcast, a place where your average Canadian Wolfpack come together to talk about life stresses, messes, and successes. A safe space where being yourself is the ultimate goal. Each week, we will bring you new episodes sharing our opinions on a ton of different topics in hopes we can get a better understanding of ourselves, each other, and this crazy world we live in. We want to build a community where we can show up as ourselves, be real, and lay it all out there. By sharing our opinions and experiences, we hope to reach others who can relate so we can all help each other learn, grow, and heal. But please keep in mind, as a disclaimer, none of us here are professionals. No one is giving any advice. We are strictly speaking of our life experiences, our opinions, and for entertainment purposes only. Now, with that being said, it's time. So grab your drink, grab your joint, and let's jump right in. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Be Real Babe Podcast. If this is your first time here, thank you so much for stopping by the show today. We hope that you have a good time. And if you're a returning listener, watcher, supporter, thank you guys so, so much from the bottom of our hearts for coming back time and time again. For those that don't know me, my name is Brandy and I am the host of the show. And today, you guys, we're on episode 147, Being Real with a BII Warrior. You guys, I am so, so, so excited. We have our Australian babe returning for her second time on our show, but we also have an episode where I went on to her podcast, and that's also in our episodes if you guys want to go check both of those out. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear the catch up. And I just wanted to take a second to really highlight the BII warriors that are out there, not only sharing their story and their experience, but also helping and amplify others. I feel like it's just such a beautiful thing when people take the tragedies that they've gone through and want to help other people. And this is what this beautiful human being does all the way across the world. I told her on the show, she is Australia to me. And I'm just absolutely so proud of her and her journey. And I'm so grateful that we became friends and that we're fellow podcasters and we can go back and forth. So you guys, her first episode with us was last year in December. She was our little Christmas treat before we went on break, and episode 97. And then Stoner Brain can't remember what her other episode is, but you also can go follow her at Could It Be and BII, as well as she has her own podcast where she brings on others to share their experiences as well. So just all around warrior, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear how that started, how she's doing now, and just any tips and tricks that she has, because she's just a phenomenal gal to talk to. So before we get onto that show, guys, just reminding you, if you are watching, probably not watching on YouTube because currently at the moment as recording this, we are banned. But if you are watching on YouTube or Rumble, please make sure to subscribe and like the video, comment to help break us out of all the jails that we're in. If you're watching on Spotify or Apple, you can also follow us there and leave a little review if you can. That really, really helps get us out there. And as well, if you can follow us on social media, we have Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest. We're out there, we're doing the things, even though we're super banned and all that fun stuff, but we're still trying. Thank you guys so, so much. I cannot wait to get going on this season, and I cannot wait for you to hear this episode. All right, babes, it's time to get on the show. And today we have a very special returning guest joining us all the way from Australia. I'd like to welcome our babe, Bianca, back. Hey, babe, how's it going?
I'm good, Brandy. How are you?
I am stuttering.
I don't mean to make you nervous. I'm sorry.
You do. I do, you guys. Listen. babe. Like, we've talked about like flying across the worlds to go see each other. And I just get so excited and I just appreciate you so much. I just get super extra fluttered, even though it's like episode 140, whatever. But I have so many things that I want to say all at one time because we are so passionate about the things that we talk about. Y'all, just so you know, this is Bianca's second time on the show. She joined us in season four, actually at the end of season 4, if you guys can imagine that, in episode 97, that was aired December 23rd, 2022. That was our first official fall in love. And then I joined her on her show. But yes, before we get into it, I'm just going to get Bianca to share a little bit about herself and her podcast and yeah, what we're talking about today, her explant journey and healing and warriorism.
Warriorism, I love that.
Yes, it's a new word. I made it up today.
Awesome. So, you know, similar age to Brandy, I just turned 37 a couple of weeks ago. I'm in Australia, in Adelaide, which is the wine capital, I guess you'd say.
I love that. You're the same.
Even though I don't really drink wine, which is probably blasphemy here, but it's all good. I go to wineries for pizza. That's my thing.
And the pictures, because yeah, there's always good picture opportunities.
You've got to go through the vineyards and get a picture. Otherwise, you didn't go.
You didn't. No, it doesn't count. I love that.
What else about me? I have a podcast called Could It Be? Do you know what? I had this moment before, like, so Could It Be, BII, instead of the word B, because BII is the acronym for breast implant illness. I'd completely missed an opportunity. I could re-spell my name to BIIANCA, because then I'd still be Bianca.
I was thinking about that
just before. I know, I completely missed that.
You just got to find that mark where you just make that change in the podcast too. Like, that's why I like change every season. I change like the colors and the theme. I think for me, just because like I get bored and I'm like, okay, here's an opportunity to like add this new level to it. So now you could just, you know, maybe add that into once you hit certain episode and then add that little piece to it. And then it's kind of like your branding, right? Like your podcast becomes your branding. And that's, you know, it's really cool because people then recognize that as a trusted source, especially for this avenue. And that's what I really wanted to highlight. Of course, your journey and your healing. And we'll get to this part, but I really wanted to highlight your advocacy because I understand what it's like to go out and talk about things that are kind of controversial. And it's sometimes really hard for your mental health. And with your particular case, you're healing at the same time, right? So like, I just find that super inspirational. And that's why I think we connect so well, because we have that vulnerability and being like, I'm just going to put it out there so I can just help people. And I think that is such a beautiful thing for you to do in that space, because I can speak about BII, but I've never experienced it, right? So it's people like yourself that, you know, I think people relate to a lot more in this space. So that being said, do you want to tell us a little bit about your implant journey and explant? Just the Coles Notes again, guys, amazing episode 97, like perfect Christmas treat for us last year. But can you give us a little timeline and then how that stumbled into you starting your podcast?
Sure. So I had breast implants done just before my 20th birthday. I keep getting the age wrong, but I was 19.
That's with our age, guys, just so you know. The timelines blur a little.
Yeah, definitely. Once you hit 37, it's just like, what? I was little, you know, yeah. I was 12.
I was a baby.
No, it definitely wasn't 12, I promise you. So I was 19, nearly 20 when I had implants done. I had two breasts, so it was a deformity of the breasts. I didn't actually realize that was what had caused my not to grow. I come from a family of big chested women, and I was the only one that didn't have that. So mum suggested them at around 13. She's like, you know, you can get something done about this if it doesn't improve. And I was like, oh, don't be silly. And went to one surgeon. He was like, I can't look after these. Like, you need to go to a reconstructive surgeon. Went through the process of having tissue expanders first, and went to a size that just suited me. Like, I'm very broad shouldered. So I went up to a C cup from not even a double A, and they sort of sat for a while, then had the actual implants in. They were fine. They were great to start off with. And I had them for just shy of 16 years. Found out about breast implant illness on social media. Someone here in Adelaide, mutual friends on Facebook, that kind of situation. Adelaide's like a like it's quite small. Everyone like yeah. there's, you know, people say there's 7 degrees of separation in the world. We yeah. probably say there's like 2 in Adelaide. it's not a country town. It's a capital yeah. city of a state.
Wow. But just very yeah, close knit and very, everyone's yeah. together. Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah, totally fair.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's a good and bad thing, right? It's a good thing because then there's a lot more people with more experiences. But then in the same sense, it's like, there's just more people and people suck. No, I'm just kidding.
They can definitely. I later on found out, I'm pretty sure this woman that I found out about breast implant illness, it wasn't even talking to her, it was just seeing an article that she posted on her Facebook. I think she works at my work potentially. We're massive, like there's
yeah
30,000 staff at my work, but yeah, that was like just I can't even remember how I don't know. I won't go into like my, you know, a female's abilities to find someone, I guess.
Oh, yes,
in one of those situations, who knows.
Detective mode, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I don't know where I put my bank card, but I can find out who blah 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 was twice removes dog.
Definitely, yes, thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. No. And then I explanted in the 27th of June 2022, so last year, just so we've just gone like over a year and a couple of months now. And you know, we caught up in December. So I'd sort of been a few months after my explant at that point. And I had started the podcast about a month before my explant because it was like, I had listened to, and like, I can't believe I didn't come across Be Real Babe because I'm pretty sure you had episodes on BII before. I was looking for podcast episodes. And unfortunately, what comes up is not unfortunately, but you know, it's bigger names like the influencers 100%. And famous people that come up, they do one-off episodes yes. and it's yeah. great, but there was that missing bit of having just a normal person, like just yeah. a normal everyday person like me and yeah. someone that doesn't have a team of people supporting them and like, you know, all yes. of this money, because explanting, it wasn't for me, but for a lot of people it can be very expensive.
So
that's why I started the podcast, just to kind of, like there were some of the episodes were like 10 minutes. It was just like, I went yes. to see my specialist and this was the discussion. And then yes. it just kind of went from, you know, the pre-surgery stuff to providing updates semi-regularly. And then yeah. now it's sort of evolved into sharing the stories of other women like you have with BII and, yes. you know, making friends with people all across the world.
All across the world. That's my favorite part. It is.
Amazing.
And I hate yeah. social media, but in the same sense, I don't. Like, I feel like I love it when I'm able to use it properly, because without it, I wouldn't have connected to women like you. I wouldn't have learned about BII at all. Like, I was the same way. I found out through the hashtag and I found Nicole's group. I didn't find it. I found that there was a group and there's that many people, but I was like, I don't have them, so I feel weird joining it. But the fact that there was a group with 50,000 individuals that were talking about it and they would share those stories. And then I just fell down that hashtag, just like most women, unfortunately, like, or fortunately do. But that's why I wanted to speak on it, because I'm like, why aren't people talking about this? Like, why is this taboo to talk about? Why is it so, and I understand it, but I don't, why is it so upsetting when we say, I think this device might be hurting people? How, I, for me, and I guess maybe because I don't have them, I don't understand. Like if someone told me like, yeah, for 100% for sure, there is an illness that comes out of these tattoos, I'd be pissed. And I'd be like, what? And how do I fix it right now? Right? Like, you know, how do I get, and they talk about heavy metals and tattoos. Like, okay, if that's what was used, then like, help me. I wouldn't get mad and be like, how dare you say that tattoos are toxic? I'd be like, please tell me more information. Maybe this is why I'm so fucking anxious or depressed or sputtering all the time with my English words. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get. And so for me, it was like, if we're about informed consent and being real, why can't we talk about this? Let's first talk about why we can't talk about it. Then maybe we could get into the rest. And then I found the community and it was like, okay, there are people talking about this. They're just being extremely banned and completely cut off. And this is why we don't hear about it. So I was like, well, at least I could do is give a platform. I can't give my experience because I don't have it. But I can give a platform for those that do, because we are about informed consent, right? And I don't believe any of our guests had informed consent. I don't know if any of yours have you, in your experience, how many guests do you know roughly that you've had? Can you remember? I know that's so hard.
Oh, it really is, because I went sort of from trying to release episodes every week to like, and that was just too hard, like with working full time and with the time differences, because it's, there's only been a couple of people from Australia, and otherwise it's been, you know, in the States or UK, and generally that's weekends where it works with the time differences. So I sort of went to going every fortnight. So I've lost track. I'm so sorry.
No, yes, but not one, 12, I feel like.
13 yeah. maybe now.
Yep.
Yeah, and like there was only one person who, and I haven't released this episode yet, and she's actually, she has her own breast implant illness podcast called not Be Real Babe, that's you.
That's okay, drop it anytime. Oh yes,
I have had Deb from the podcast, so she's a radio announcer in the UK, so an absolute natural at podcasting. It's like, it's funny.
See, now I gotta find another name. I'm like, okay, what's her name, let me write this down.
So she actually, she only had implants for 6 months, but she knew about BIR. I think she'd heard about it potentially, I can't remember, but it was potentially through social media. So she knew about it, but the doctor's like, oh no, that's just people manifesting it. Like, that was the attitude that sort of came.
I mean, oh, I just totally, oh, that got me so mad. I just ripped my camera right off of here. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's go back to that for a second. A doctor said that someone manifested wow. I mean, I've heard of a lot of weird manifestation things before. Like, I don't believe you can manifest a real car in your driveway by just thinking about it. But I don't also think that like your negative thoughts are going to bring you breast implant illness over the, you know, the devices themselves. I don't, that one's a weird one for me.
And what I found very interesting with that particular surgeon, when she wanted them in, he miraculously had an opening available for the surgery in 2 weeks. But when she wanted to explant, she did, out of interest, she knew that she didn't necessarily want to go through it with that particular doctor, like considering the attitude towards it. But he was like, oh, there's a 7-month wait before I can explant. So she's like, well, she found someone else, and he's amazing. She's had him on their podcast. And I found that very interesting. Like, oh, he had 2 weeks, an opening in 2 weeks when you wanted them in, but only 6 months later, it was a 7-month wait.
That's insane. Does it cost more money? Was it costing more money to get them implanted than explanted? Like, was there a financial tie to that, I wonder?
Don't know, because like you do pay for the actual implants, I guess. Yep. But then sometimes when people are having explant surgery, they will have, so there's like the charge for the explant surgery. There's a charge for the capsulectomy, so taking the capsules out, the tissue that forms around the implants.
Yeah.
I've got some interesting information about my capsules to fill you in on.
Yes. Okay. Oh, good. Sorry, I don't know the weird. Oh, good. Tell me about the tissue that came out of your breasts. Like, hold on. Sorry. I just realized how that must sound. Good. But I'm heavily invested in your journey now, okay? That just made me dawned on me when I said that, like how intrusive, but carry on.
Distress. We're oversharers. That's why it's we have fair. Podcasts.
Yes, it's true.
So
you have to play, for the explants, the capsulectomy.
Oh, English words. And then capsulectomy, it's not one. Easy to say. Nope. And then some people will have lifts as well. I didn't. That's something that I may consider down the track, but that's a whole other thing. Like, it's not an aesthetics thing. It's about, like, I'll potentially start losing weight eventually because of some work I'm doing with a naturopath, and that's on my list to talk about today as well. But, like, yeah, if they end up getting in the way, then maybe, like, you know, I don't want anything whacking my arms when I'm working out or whatever. So maybe I'll look at a lift. Like, it's not any sort of pressure anywhere externally. It's just something that if I'm uncomfortable, it's going to bother me. So.
Yeah. And there's a physical thing, right? And I think that's where a lot of people kind of have that misunderstanding too. And it's something I've definitely had to work through, is like, it's not, and that's just from what I've been fed and stories that I've made up in my head, that implants, getting them done, a lot of the time, it's not just always for aesthetic. It's like a comfort thing too, right? Like, there's women that, you know, get a reduction and then they whatever, that, you know, any sort of plastic surgery doesn't always necessarily mean just for aesthetics. It could just be because it's uncomfortable on your body, right? Like people that lose a ton of weight and they have that excess skin, like how else are they supposed to get that off without surgery? So I definitely have had a full circle moment of being like, ah, surgery is so terrible. Fuck all of it. Cause it's just hurting people and like making them feel like they have to change their bodies. But there's a whole other side to it as well, where there's that medical piece of like, you know, it's just not comfortable. And I think as long as you're doing things that honor yourself, then that's what's most important, right? You know that the plastic part isn't it, but a lift or reconstructure isn't adding a toxin to your body.
One of my older sisters, so the next one up from me, like this is where I talk about like having big chested family. Yes. She was, from memory, an F or a G cup. Maybe, I can't remember. Excuse me. And she's shorter than me, so I'm quite short. I'm only about 5'3", 5'4", and she's shorter than I am. And she had these like massive boobs, and she actually got a reduction because it was impacting her posture. She had really bad back pain, and that kind of stuff then feeds through to like your shoulder pain, like, you know, things just not aligning properly. So she, that was her reasoning for getting that done, and you know, she would probably feels a lot better and has a higher quality of life for having done that.
And you see those times too, and you're like, okay, I you know, I'm the same thing with Western medicine. Like, I understand its purpose and it has its amazing things, but there's also like, we need to fix some things over there too, right? So it's funny when you just kind of come through a full circle moment because you've been like abused or let down or hurt by that industry or that service, and then you're like, forget it. And then you're like, okay, I can kind of, I see, you know, where it is helpful. But bad people and money and greed seem to take over it. It's like, I'm not against people getting implants. I'm against the fact that it costs so much more to explant. And I know things are different all over the world, but in Canada, you don't get covered for that. That's not under insurance. That's not covered by Health Canada. So if you want to explant, you need to pay for that yourselves. And some are single moms that are barely able to afford their living right now as it is. They're not going to be able to save $10,000 to $15,000 to get the explant, minus the weeks they have to be off work, minus, you know, childcare, all of those things. Like, it's just not feasible. So these poor women are sitting in this pain and all these different illnesses, all these different ailments that can't be fixed because there's just no way they can save that $10,000, $15,000 because it was aesthetic. And it's like, okay, but like, what if you have insurance, you should be able to use it for whatever, in my opinion. Like, you know what I mean? If you don't go to the dentist, but you have like $4,000 for the dentist, like, I think you'd rather take that $4,000 and put it towards explanting. You know what I mean? I just don't, I don't find that benefits in that here in Canada. Like, you know, people always say, oh, free healthcare. It's like, no, yes, it's a bit better than some places, but we definitely pay, and the free stuff ain't great. You know, it's not actually helping.
There's a wait for it in a lot of places as well. One thing that I think they need to do is regulate the cost, because I compare the amount that I paid to what other women can pay here in Australia, and it is, you know, it could be $15,000 difference.
That's nuts.
The same surgery. And
that's crazy.
Like, my surgeon, she was like, I actually went back to the one who did my implants. And she doesn't have a flashy website. She she's just a very basic practice. She's been in the same practice rooms for the whole 16 years that I've known her.
Oh, I love
but
that.
She does super well at any surgery she does, because she's a perfectionist and, you know, is passionate about her work. But she's not after the money. And obviously that's what a lot, what happens to a lot of people. And there's another surgeon that's in Adelaide that has, like, he talks about explanting a lot on social media. And I had a look at what his prices were, and it was huge, like a massive difference. I'm like, oh, like, how is that?
How do you justify it?
Why is there such a difference? We do have like Medicare here, which is our public health type thing. And you can get an explant surgery done through Medicare, but you need to meet certain criteria for that to happen. So it would, I don't know the criteria. It's hard to find any information on it. And it's not something that my GP spoke about.
I was just saying, it's probably not in literature that's easy to understand either, right? Like, they usually have so much like jargon in there that you're like, I don't fully understand. Like, I'm not an idiot, but I don't fully understand the structure of these words. Like, where does the liability, where, you know, because then you go to apply, it's like, for us, it's like, we had our benefits say like your wellness spending account. And I'm like, oh, great. Grants, we can use the gym, which I'm like, this is amazing. We can write off like up to $500 a year together for the gym. Great. Mm-hmm. Mine, I have like $700 and it has to go to like, oh, if the dentist isn't fully covered, then that goes on it, or like some massage. I'm like, I can't use this for the gym. That is why I don't use these other services over here. And it's just, it blows my
you're
mind.
You're being proactive.
Yes, exactly.
You're going to the gym to stop. Yeah. I mean, obviously not the prevention. Dental side of things, but.
No, I try to floss my teeth, but you know, it's just kind of frustrating because like, it should be for your health, right? So I'm glad that they have those things. But like, then what's the borderline of who gets it and then who doesn't when BII isn't a quote unquote like
diagnosable condition.
But yet insurance your Medicare is acknowledging that obviously it is doing something. So it's like, there's just so much mixed signals. And so that's why I feel like their verbiage really screws people over in that sense.
Yes. Yeah. And that ability to find that information. I was just, I saw it in a Facebook group, someone had put a table together themselves was like different categories versus what, like they were. So, you know, if you have a CAT scan or an MRI done or an ultrasound and they find a rupture, that's something. If you have, I don't know whether the breast implant associated cancers were factored in, because I don't know whether you know you have them until afterwards.
So there's things that, right?
Yeah, they've got to go off and test it. And so like it's just very unclear. And that's why I haven't spoken about it necessarily on the podcast, because
you don't want to give anyone false hope.
I've had one woman here in Australia, Lauren, who did go through that system, and it was a wait to see. So she found a bit of a loophole in it, and it's not a bad one. Like there was a months long wait to actually see the surgeon, and then you've got to wait for months again to have the surgery. But what she did is she paid to see the surgeon, because they were one that did public and private surgeries. So she paid to see them privately, but then booked in with them publicly. So she trimmed a few months off of her wait. Smart. Which I don't see any problem with that. Like that's
no. Your health is in jeopardy at that point, and you know that that's what it is. I'm not patient. I'd be like, right now, GTFO, like I got no time to wait here. Like I'm, and I know they say like, and you know, talking to Dr. John the last time, you know, he was saying he does suggest people to wait because it is a big decision, and 100%. I just think when you're on your own journey of that like health path, like, you know, you're on with like, as well, like with the birth control, there's just, you just want to fix as much as you possibly can. It's hard not to get addicted to the healing of being like, I am aware that these things could be affecting it, and I need to know now if that's what's going on. I know you got to wait, but you know, and I think that was another thing that was working against you too, right? Like when in your healing. So maybe let's switch over to your healing. So now it's been, like you said, we had only been like 3 or 4 months after your, maybe like closer to 6 months when we met on the first time. So it's been almost like a year and a half now since your explant. I know you had some things. How are you feeling now? And then lead us into your naturopath. How's that going?
Yeah. So now I'm feeling pretty good, but it's been a bit of a roller coaster since we spoke in December. So I think in December I was feeling pretty good as well. And I was like, oh, I think I'm through this, right?
Yes. Yes.
And there's just been like, I can't remember the exact timeline of things, but I remember around 9 months after the surgery, I started feeling a bit blah again. So I had some joint pain coming back through my ankles, and I was having some gastrointestinal issues. So I would take a couple of bites of a meal and just feel really full, and I would get heartburn. I've never really had heartburn before. So what my partner and I would do is, in summer last year, we would go for a walk at 8 p.m., about 45-minute walk every night, and I had to take antacids with me because I was getting really uncomfortable heartburn. And yeah, it was just really strange, because I had been feeling really good. And then like the other big thing that's kind of happened, we went over to Texas Yes. So my partner's band was accepted to play at the South by Southwest Music Festival. And on one of our night walks, actually, we were talking about like their normal backing singer couldn't go. And I said, joking around, oh, I can do it. And he's like, oh my God, you can. Like, I'm not a brilliant singer by any means, but I can carry a tune. I did singing lessons. It's one of my hobbies for a few years. So that was
Don't give yourself enough credit. That was awesome to see. It was great to cheer you on. I think I forget because we talk so much in between the episodes that it's like, oh yeah, right. Like the community happened. Doesn't know that, but I know that.
Yeah. So
that was great to see because I feel like you're in a moment where you like needed something like that to just like, you know, shake up what you've been going through and just have like a totally fun life-changing experience, like a positive one, right? With all the hard work that you've done.
Definitely. And the one thing that really surprised me, I didn't really know a lot of their music. It's very different to the kind of music I listen to, but I had to learn the lyrics and the harmonies for 15 songs. So we only had, like a 40 minute set was the maximum that we had while we were over there. We did 3 gigs while we were in Texas, but we had a bigger gig in Adelaide before we went just for a bit of a practice and a bit of a fundraiser type thing. So I had to learn 15 songs, but I'd learnt the Texas one, which was like, I think 8 songs. And about a week out from the Adelaide gig, the lead singer was like, oh, so I want you to learn 7 more. And like considering the way my cognitive function was before explanting, I was like,
yes,
I've already learned 8. Like, I don't know whether my brain capacity can really like soak much.
Am I going to lose one?
Yeah, no. Like, is it going to bump other stuff?
Is there a max? Like,
so like I spent a whole week, like, so I'd be like listening to the songs, like the same song over and over again. I'd be doing something else, like playing Nintendo or doing stuff around the house. Yeah. Or I can, like, because of my work, sometimes if I'm not writing stuff, if I'm just like exporting data or whatever, I can be singing along at the same time. So just crammed for a week and managed to learn the 15 songs at the Adelaide gig. I didn't even have the lyrics. I had my phone with me just in case because I hadn't been on stage. Like, my mouth goes super dry because I'm nervous, and I was worried that I was going to forget the lyrics because I was nervous, and I didn't have that issue at all. Like,
no, I got through it. Just stepped into it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I learned piano, like a little, I've got a synth, like a micro Korg, and I learned some parts on that, and I remembered all of those. Like, it was just...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It's just huge, stepping into an opportunity that, you know, with like no expectations of just like, let's just have some fun, and then having the greatest time and showing yourself you can do far more. And I bet being on the podcast probably helped you a little bit more, you know, just having that, like, going into, because every... I mean, I've been doing this is our 6th season, and I still sputter, even though people, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I couldn't imagine, like, it's easy. I'm in my room and I sputter. No one's really around here.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine what it's like.
I can still get nervous recording on my own. I completely understand that. Yeah. Like,
there's even worse when you're by yourself.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, that I think the podcast helped. And like, one thing I don't think I've mentioned, but before I met my partner, before COVID shut everything down as well, I was a speed dating host on the side.
So oh my gosh, that's fun.
That's so speaking so fun. In front of groups of people and like explaining the whole process to them, and you've just got to be this big energy in the room. You've got to have a lot of confidence and direct everybody around and stuff. So that probably helped
all also. Leads into it. Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. I love when you're like, you can look back at your life at certain things and you're like, okay, I see how I knew that. Or like people repeat, you're like, hey, you remind me of this, or, you know, and you're just like, oh, I remember that. I remember in my job, I'm like, well, I learned this from this job and I learned this from this job. I'm like, all of my jobs have lined me up to the one that I have today. Interesting. But you don't see it as you're going on the journey. So I always love when people say that, because you got to look, like, you can't see the connection and the dots going ahead. I think maybe some quote by Steve Jobs, I think it was, it's like, you can't see it going forward, but when you look back, you can see how it all connects together. And I just think little moments like this, they really do all come together to build you up to be more confident and, you know, and every single thing. And, but if you don't go through those uncomfortable moments, you don't build that confidence for the next thing, the next level that you're going to say, you know, ask someone that you get super nervous about. Like, we have someone that we've asked to come on the show. Hopefully it's been aired. And we fangirl this individual. And I'm like, I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to pull it together for an episode. Like, But it's like, you know, you like, you got to go through it, because then, you know, how are we ever going to be the Joe Rogans of the world? I'm just kidding. If we don't do that. Right. So I think it's fun. But anyways, back to your healing now. So you're feeling better, but you weren't. So you had that turn. It's like a honeymoon of the healing. And then it was like, just kidding. Yeah. Let's just like throw a loop.
That's exactly how I explain it. There's a honeymoon period of the healing. And I was only speaking to somebody recently who reached out because she'd started listening. And I said, look, be prepared for the, because she's explanting in the next few months, be prepared for the fact that there is this honeymoon period. It's not going to be, you wake up feeling amazing straight away. Like you will. Yep. There'll be this massive comparison to how you are feeling before, but there'll be waves of things coming and going, and don't be disheartened by that. It's just your body's natural process. Yeah. So when it comes to like the reason why I sort of brought up Texas is when we're over there. So like my hair, if you look back at our episode, my hair was really short in compared, like there's been a lot of hair growth, but when we were in Texas, my hair just fell out. And I think maybe that was the first time I've flown since my surgery. I'd only had been as far as Hawaii before going overseas, and the flight to Hawaii is only 9 hours there and 10 hours back. So it was a full 21 to 24 hours of travel to get to Texas, because it's not really a direct flight there. No. My hair fell out. So I don't know if it was the stress of flying, the water difference there. Like my sister had said, oh, make sure you take a lot of hair treatments. The water there is a lot harder than the water here. Yes. So that was one thing I noticed, was so much falling out. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to have to start again back. But we, like, I felt really good. We were walking around a lot when we were there. Like, we didn't bother hiring a car or anything. Plus, you guys drive on the opposite side of the road, and that would have just been too stressful.
It is so stressful. I went to London once, and I was like, what the fuck? I can't do this. Like, I can't. Nope. Bring me back to my Canada.
Yeah.
Stressful. I get that. Even people here have opposite driven vehicles, and I'll see them on like the highway. And I'm like, what are you doing?
It freaks you out. Why are you sitting on the side of the car?
I'm like, you are a murderer. Like, you have to be.
I did that when we were in an Uber in Austin. I turned around. I'm like, why is that guy smoking a cigar and texting someone while he's driving? I'm like, oh, he's the passenger here. Like, he's driving. Like, that was like a whole thing we had to get used to. We walked around a lot. We made sure that we were walking because, like, you know, you see a lot more at that pace as well. Also meet another BII podcast host while I was over there, Dana Mercica. She's got Empowered Explant. She's actually from where I'm from originally and lives in Austin. Nice. I was like, hey, I'm going to be there. Do you want to catch up? And I caught up with her. But that was another fangirl moment. I'm like,
that's so cool. Like, right? It's so hard.
Like, famous.
Yeah. And just like, oh, right. Talking me. I'm the host. I've got the words. What? Can you just do it for me?
She was so lovely. She was so nice. We caught up for a coffee. We did record while we were there just catching up, but we had to sit outside, so I don't know if that was I don't know whether that's ever going to be released or whether we'll catch up for something
that's fair
separately, but yeah, that was really cool.
It's hard when you're in the moment sometimes, because you're just so in the moment, you know, and that's what's more important, you know. Obviously getting the shows and having the content is great, but even just having that connection that you two got to have is just such a special moment. And I feel that's like in the BII community, like, your guys' love for each other is so, so, so strong, because it's like you guys have been lied to and gaslit to, and then by own individuals that have and don't want to accept breast implant illness in other individuals, like, almost shunned by your own like community, not really, because it's not a community, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, people that would understand you the most are going to be those that have had implants, and the fact that some of them discredit it because they don't want to acknowledge that that's a thing that they've maybe are at risk of having, which I understand, but it just makes me really sad. And I think that's why I was like, F that, I'm going to stand with you guys, because I believe what you're saying. I'm looking at you, and I don't believe women are just like, I'm just going to say that it's my boobs and go through all of this for attention, or because it's in my head, or because I manifested it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I obviously manifested my healing post-surgery then too.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Like, yeah, you did that to you. So you're in Texas, you're feeling good, you're walking, which is something that's really important, because you are like, you've always been a fit person, right? Like, you've been in fitness industry, so that's through your healing. I think that is something that's probably grounded you a lot, is being able to continually move and get out there. So that's good that you were able to do that in a whole hot Texan country.
Well, you know what? They don't have the accent. Like we met one person that maybe had the accent, but Austin seems to be quite transient where people move in there from elsewhere. So there wasn't that thick accent that we were expecting. That everyone thought we were from the UK. They're like, are you from England? And we're like, no, Adelaide has a very English accent compared to other parts of Australia. So that might be what you're hearing. But coming home from Austin, so we had to fly to San Francisco first. And flying over, I had no problems. I can retain a bit of fluid, especially through my ankles. And that had kind of been happening before we came across or we went across. But coming home, just the flight from Austin to San Fran, it was 3.5 hours. I was so puffy through my legs. And we had to race from where we arrived to the plane back to Australia. And I was in so much pain, I was nearly crying, but I didn't want to let on. I was just like, I'm just going to get there. And once we're there,
you can do this.
I can settle down and cry or whatever I need to do. And we got there and they're like, oh, we're not boarding yet. I'm like, okay. But yeah, my legs were just so swollen. And then we had this 15, 16 hour flight back to Melbourne and then another 50 minute flight. Oh, it was an hour and 20 minutes. I get confused because one way is quicker than the other, but they're like, it's a fairly quick flight between Melbourne and home. And it was one of those really small, regional.
That's not, when you're not feeling great, those aren't great. No. Yeah. You're like, I need more oxygen than this.
But then coming home, so it was like that for a few days, my calves, all through my calves, it wasn't just my ankles. And they couldn't move. There was that much fluid in them that they were just so swollen all the way through. If I poked it, nothing happened.
If I put a pin in this, is it just going to explode? What's going on here?
What's going to happen?
Yes. Yeah. So, my mom has fibromyalgia, and that's one spot that flares up for her the most will be her calves and her ankles. And when she came here, ironically for the 3 weeks, it dissipated. She's like, look at my ankles. You can see them. I was like, that is amazing, mom. So yeah, it's not, I don't think people understand how painful that actually is. To go through, it's your own skin is like your fluids are like feeling like they're gonna come out of your skin. Like, chill out, bro. Flow around my body.
Just go everywhere else.
Just go somewhere else.
See it out.
Something. Sweat it out. Something.
And so I made sure when I got home, I got in the sauna and I drank a lot of water, try and flush it out. It did take a while, but I was feeling good after. I can't remember how long, but it wasn't straight away.
I wonder if it has to do with maybe a combination of the climate, the foods, the water. I wonder if it's a bunch that your body was I'm not quite fully healed yet and I don't like this. And I'm going to tell you that I don't like this.
Yeah. And we didn't eat that well over there, but everything's got
everything though.
Is the high starch corn syrup is in everything.
And yes, it's very bad over here.
So it was potentially, the higher concentration of certain things in the foods that impacted me as well. The flying, the water, the temperatures, stress elevation on the body. But I'm fine now. But coming home, I was like, all right, I need to start doing something about it before this happened as well. And I think this is something that I potentially mentioned when you did the episode on my podcast. But I'd gone to a doctor to talk about I think my hormones are out. I think my thyroid's out. Something's not quite right. I'm gaining weight. It's really hard. I can't lose it. I won't ever go too extreme with my diet or anything, but I'm eating pretty well in comparison to what I used to. And I'm able to exercise a lot more. This was when I was walking every night as well. Yeah. And she was like, so there's this medication that you can take. And I thought she was about to mention this one that I don't know how widely known it is, but it's called Duramine, and it's basically speed, I think. And it just switches off your hunger receptor. So you're really hyperactive and you want to move all the time and you can't sleep, but also you just don't feel hungry. But it's a quick fix.
It's like
situation.
That Ozempic.
That's the funny thing. I thought she was about to offer me Duramine, but she's like, but the medication, I said, is it Duramine that you're about to mention? Because I'm not touching that. I've tried it before and it was horrendous. It gave me heart palpitations and dry mouth and no, I'm not going to ever take that again.
Thank you.
And then she's like, oh, no, this is Ozempic. And I'm like, wait a minute. There was a shortage of that at this point. This is February, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me that there's a shortage of it until June this year. And I said to her, hang on a second, I don't have diabetes.
You don't? No.
And I'm not about to take this away from somebody who needs it. They're already having to wait for months before that. And I was like, no, I'm not taking. I'm like, can you please just test my hormone levels and my thyroid to see if anything's wrong? She was like, oh, okay, then. Actually, you could tell she was miffed. And so the test that she sent me off for was the polycystic ovarian syndrome test, which is testosterone, androgens, and something else.
Okay.
Anyway, that came back in normal ranges. I'm like I've already had that test multiple times because I was told by a specialist years ago that I did have polycystic ovarian syndrome and I actually don't have it. You know, just to add to all of
sorry,
the things
just...
that...
Oh, I mean, come on, guys. Like, what are we doing here? Like, the amount of misdiagnosis that I hear in just a weekly basis, just talking to people I know in my life outside of new guests that come on, just kind of blows my mind. Like, I get that we don't always know, but boy, that's quite a big one to carry around thinking you have.
Yeah. And do you know what? Like, he often, because I lost an ovary when I was 19. I didn't lose it. I just like farted out, but like,
it got it just fell out.
It just fell out. No, I had it removed because I had like a 7.6 kilo, I think it's 17 pound ovarian cyst on that
That's
ovary,
right? Yes.
We did. And that was the one that was misdiagnosed as gas.
I remember that too.
Yeah. So I've got one ovary. And when he told me that, like, the reason why he told me I had PCOS is because I had a lot of cysts on, or follicles on the outside of that ovary, and you actually need multiple markers when it comes to being diagnosed with PCOS, and that was only one. He didn't do blood tests, or I think urine tests is the other one, or whether you've got, because some of the symptoms are like male pattern hair loss, and then you can also like grow like
facial hair.
Excess hair, like from the higher levels of testosterone.
Yeah, would make sense.
I didn't have any of that. But he was like, oh, I can just remove your ovary for you. I'm like, hang on a second. I'm like, I think I was early 30s, 2018. I remember what it was in 2018.
32. 5 years minus a 7. Sometimes.
Yeah. So it was 32. Once. I'm like, I'm not voluntarily going through surgical menopause.
No.
At 32, like all of the other health risks that come with that, the bone density issues like earlier in life, like I'm not, like that's not a way
that's
to
not an
treat
option.
That. I'm sorry.
No. So, that's not, that's extreme. That's like a last resort.
Yeah. So yeah, sorry. That was just on the fact that I know I don't have PCOS.
Yes.
And I was talking to the lead singer of the band. And she had mentioned that she was seeing a naturopath for stuff, and I was like, oh, how is that naturopath going? She's like, oh, they were terrible, but I'm going to this new one and she's super lovely, like she's amazing. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get in touch with her, like, you know, what have I got to lose?
Yes.
And she kind of runs her own appointment, so I called the company and she called me back, and she, when I mentioned that I'd had breast implants removed and my IUD removed, because that's something else I'll talk about, she knew as when I said like breast implant illness, like she was like, oh, okay, so when was your explant surgery? So she knew the terminology. She'd obviously heard about it before, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm not going to have any resistance from her. Like, she's going to know what to do. And she was amazing. So the first appointment went for over an hour. I think we booked an hour. She's like, oh, we can book an hour and a half if you've got a complex medical history. I'm like, oh, no. And then when we went,
hour should
like,
be good.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Yeah, I'm just
kidding. This is my 13th surgery.
But yeah, I think yours was complex.
She was really brilliant. She sent me off for all of these blood tests, like more than I've ever been tested for before. And one thing that I actually, so she ticked all of these things on the form. And I'm like, I hear a lot of people talking about the MTHFR gene mutation. Can I be tested for that too? She's like, absolutely. It's just another tick. Like, off we go. I'm like, sweet. So went off and had that done. It wasn't like, because there was a lot of stuff they were testing. I thought that they'd have to take a lot of blood. I don't have any problems with that. I just can't watch it happening.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Like the pain, like I can deal with that. No worries. It's just like, I just don't want to see something. I watched my tattoo happening, but.
I know. Isn't it weird to like, I can watch that, but the minute blood comes out, nope. You lost me there. Yeah, that's a big nope.
And that was really interesting with all the stuff that came back in that one, because it's something that my GP's never tested for. I don't know whether it's on their radar, but like when the GP was testing my thyroid, they just tested one, which is a thyroid stimulating hormone. And if that's high, then your thyroid hormone's not working very well. Now, preface this, I'm not a medical professional, but this is just what I've learned through talking to people. So, you know, apologies if I'm wrong anywhere. Feel free to contact me and correct me. But that was what they tested for. It was kind of like the first GP is like, oh, it's kind of high, but you know, it's in the range. It was 4.99 and the top of the range was 5. I'm like, okay. And then when I've spoken to other people since then, they're like, no, that's high. Like what? Yeah. Like what's
why
going
would they say that?
So yeah, it was really strange. That had actually come down when I tested with the naturopath, but their ranges are shorter. So I think between 1 and 2.5 or something like that is optimal, because they actually look at long term. They don't look at right now, okay, thyroid sitting okay, we don't need to do anything. It's like, look, it's high, like, but we need to look at the root cause as to why it's high, like what's caused
it's going to keep getting higher if you don't fix it.
Exactly. And like if you're eating something or doing something, you know, cortisol, like stress really makes your body release cortisol. If you're stressed, and it's not just like, oh, work is stressing me out, it's like physical stresses, emotional stresses, like, you know, there's so much that can impact that then feeds into issues with hormones and thyroid and all that kind of thing. So it did come back that my TSH was still high. It had come down a bit, luckily, but it was still high. But then she looked at other things and it was like antibodies, reverse T3, that kind of thing. And I'm at risk of Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune thyroid condition. So we're working together on that. I came back with some hormone imbalances. So there was prolactin, which is normally high in women who are breastfeeding, and I never have been and never will be pregnant. So that was really weird. And my progesterone was really low. And apparently if the prolactin's high, it can force down your progesterone. So we're working on leveling that out. And that could have been from the implants because they are considered endocrine disruptors. Right, or it could have been from the IUD as well.
Because that is also... Or it could be, you know, perfume or makeup or the water.
Oh, no,
so I'm just
much.
Kidding. I would go that far. But like it's so frustrating though, right?
Plastics, all sorts.
Plastics, yep.
With that MTHFR gene mutation, I have two variants of it. I don't quite know the correct way to explain that. So basically when you have those mutations, it means that you don't absorb vitamin B properly. And I think you have issues with folate. And you also don't detox very well, like your body doesn't detox very well naturally. So I've actually had my vitamin B12 tested years ago and it was really low. And the doctor actually asked me, like, are you a vegetarian? Like, do you avoid red meat? I'm like, no, like I eat red meat every
Love
week
steak.
Pretty much. Like,
yeah.
Give me like spaghetti bolognese, like all those.
Stop
me. I love it. So he was like, it's really strange that it's slow. And I had the injections, like the B12 injections over a few months. And like my mental capacity just it skyrocketed. I was a superhero. I was remembering everything. I was on the ball. So like, obviously that's something that's impacted me because I was like, you know, I'm a lot better than what I like when I had implants, but I'm still not perfect. Like I still get a bit tired and stuff. I'm just looking at my notes to make sure I cover it all. And the other thing as well. So I considered that I had irritable bowel syndrome and it was like a process of elimination, seeing what kind of foods impacted me. And I'm not like your classic case of IBS. Like I'm not constipated or I'm not the other end. Like I just don't, my tummy doesn't like certain foods and I get very uncomfortable. So what she actually said is a big majority of people that are told they have IBS actually have something else called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which is also called SIBO. So we're working through that at the moment. So working with the naturopath, one thing that like is super important is to understand, like, I know it's cliche, but trust the process, because there will be something that you do that feeds into the next thing, that feeds into the next thing. And if you try to fix something here, but you haven't done this stage of it first, it's not going to work. So what we have done so far is, first of all, a heavy metal detox. And none of this has been extreme, because I said to her, do I need to like go on a juice cleanse or something?
Like, yes, serious, you know, celery like, cleanse.
Do I need to starve myself? Like, do I need to drink lemon water with cayenne pepper? She's like, no, I don't really believe in those things. It's like ways that you can support your body. So it was just taking certain supplements. And one of them was like this ancient mineral that binds to the heavy metals and makes you poop them out.
Yeah, that's
sorry
amazing.
For the overshare.
Nope, and, not around here. That's fine.
When it comes to the MTHFR gene mutation, there's specific B vitamins that I can take. It's like an activated B complex. So I started taking that, and I think I started them on the Wednesday, and on the Friday, I was like, it was ridiculous. Like I finished a full day at work. Pretty sure my partner had gone away for work. So I was like, cleaned the whole house. I was like, I got to like 2 o'clock in the afternoon at work, which is when I normally would try to do the stuff that didn't matter too much, because that was when I was getting a bit fatigued, mentally fatigued. So I'd be like actioning my emails and like just doing admin stuff. But I was like writing this essay, a completely unnecessary essay. I was like, I'm like, I'm really sorry. My brain just got a lot of energy today and sent it off. I don't know whether anyone ended up using that, but it was just all this information. I was like, here you go.
That's amazing.
So that was within a couple of days. So, yeah, I was taking the B vitamins, taking some vitamins to support my thyroid as well, and I'm still doing that now months later. Then, like, we've sort of been looking at stripping the bad bacteria. So I didn't realize, but obviously, like, the implants can impact your gut health because of the heavy metals in them. But also if you have surgeries where you cut open through your stomach muscles, that can actually, I've heard of people talking recently about the fact that that can cause SIBO. And okay. I, because of all my ovarian cysts, I've been sliced and diced, like mm-hmm. I've been cut open so many times. Mm-hmm. And it did exacerbate after the last one, which was only a laparoscope, so only like the little keyhole surgery, but it did get a lot worse after that one.
Interesting.
So that, yeah, very interesting. So yeah,
I feel like this woman's much helpful, like so much more helpful than anybody else in your journey so far.
Oh, she's
like, I feel like
she's
just been there. And see, this is what happens when you talk, right? Like had you not spoken to that one woman about your situation or she was sharing with you, you wouldn't have been connected. And I think that's why it's so important when you do find good people and good resources that it is really important to share, because you never know when someone might need that information. You never know when someone's decided, you know what, I've done everything I can do, my implants are the problem and I'm ready to tackle that. And they're going to be like, oh, right, I remember that blah, blah, blah said that this was a really good, you know, like explant therapist or, you know, like a good surgeon or good explant surgeon. And these are the things I need to look out for. Like what, the first girl that I followed about breast implant illness was never told about the capsulectomy or whatever the heck it's called. Mm-hmm. And so she got hers out. She had to get it redone and actually get those out when another surgeons were like, did you get this part taken out? And she was like, no, like that wasn't a thing. And he's like, well, that's where majority of the toxins will like secrete into and like live in your body, I think. And that's why you, most majority of people, I think it's like mandatory to get that tested, because that's where the cancer cells will live, right? If they're in there. And like, I know some girls where the silicone actually leaked into their ribs and now they just have like, and like to their lungs where it just sits there for the rest of time. Yeah. It's just going to sit there for the rest of their lives. And you're like,
you hear
what?
It sitting in people's lymph nodes as well, because like, that's where it sort of travels through the lymphatic system. On the topic of capsules.
Yes. Tell us about yours.
So I didn't really get my pathology report. I didn't ask for it from my surgeon. She kind of just said, there's no BIA, ALCL, none of that. Anaplastic large cell lymphoma, no risk of that. There was a lot of calcification through the implants. They were quite old, but that was all. And then I have joined a study in Australia. So there's a professor here in Sydney who's doing a study on breast implant illness, or he actually calls it something different. It's systematic symptoms of breast implants, so SSBI. Okay. And I was at one of my reviews for that one, and I don't know if she's an assistant, Robin. She got in contact with me asking if I had the confirmation that it was a total partial en bloc capsulectomy and for any of the pathology. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll ask my surgeon. And I had one of my follow-ups coming. So she printed it out for me and then gave it to me. And I had to race back to work and didn't look at it until my lunch break. And I'm reading it. And left and right breast capsules. I can't pronounce some of these words. Hypercellular hyaluronized capsules showing focal calcification and features consistent with silicon bleed. So that no one had told me that. So that highlights the importance of where it is possible to have the capsule removed. Like it's not always possible. Sometimes it's dangerous to have it taken out. And this professor will actually talk, he actually talks about that, that, you know, sometimes you can only have a partial capsulectomy because it's fused to it's ribs and stuff, and you could potentially puncture a lung if you go in to operate on like the, you know, it's not always possible, but where it is, try and get it taken out. And like, you know, people will argue you must have en bloc capsulectomy. Sometimes that's not possible as well. Sometimes it's more expensive, so people aren't going to be able to afford it. But you know, in the situation where it, I didn't have a rupture and there was still silicone bleed, so that's where the capsule had, you know, like potentially held those toxins away from the rest of my body. Like it could have been worse if so that's
kind of crazy. And everyone has such a different reaction, because I mean everyone's body and experience is so different to, like, you know, and a lot of women in the fitness industry have that, right? And like, think about, you know, those are some of the healthiest. I mean, there are some very unhealthy, don't get me wrong, but the majority of those women are, you know, especially the bikini girls, they're eating clean as much as possible. You know, they're not really doing much damage. They're not going out drinking. They're not doing crazy drugs. I'm sure some of them do some forms of like steroids and gear. I'm sure it's not the best, but for the majority of like what they're eating and what they're doing and how they're treating their bodies is very, very healthy and clean for the most part. And it just kind of blows my mind that, like, you know, that when those girls go, hey, there's something wrong, people are like, oh, it's not your implants. It's like, well, you can't really attribute it to their diet because they're eating as clean as possible. You can't attribute it to alcohol. Yeah, they're training well. Their chances are they're not, you know, wearing makeup and all those things because they're usually in the gym working really hard. You know, like at what point do you have all these excuses, and at what point do coincidences become reality? You know, that was one thing that blows my mind. It's like, well, there's no study. Well, of course, why would there be study? It's not going to financially gain to these surgeons and these people. It's only going to help the patient. And unfortunately, a lot of industries have been taken over by like Scrooge McDucks, and they just care about the doubloons at the end of the day, especially the ones that implant and then they explant. It's like, do you just got like a revolving circle there? You know, like,
I struggle. Income for later on.
You know what I mean? It's like, especially like, I don't know. It's just, it feels like it's a little out of touch in a way. It's kind of like, at least you're acknowledging it, but then it's like, well, don't worry. We'll just take them out. Like, it's not a big deal. Just get them out if they don't work out. It's like, again, remember, I think we talked about that when I came on your show, was this like people would just look at you and be like, just get implants. Like, it's like the easiest, quickest decision, that it's not a big deal. And it's like, hold on. I don't think people fully understand. Even like some people, I had this one girl, she got a nose job, and she was like, I honestly had no idea that the recovery was going to be like this. Like, I did not have any idea it was going to be like a whole month and my face would be just fucked up for the whole time, because you just see the before and after and you think, gosh, that looks great. But when people don't talk about the real trueness of those surgeries, most people go in thinking it's not a big deal. Then you have these surgeons just being like, oh, it's not a big deal. I do 10,000 of these a year. But that doesn't mean it's not a big deal, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to poorly react. And I think my biggest thing is, like, if you're going to get implants, please try to save the money to explant, especially if you're here in Canada, because you're not going to get any support for that. And like I said, I didn't even know a local mom here in Kelowna. She's a mom of three, single mom. And she's like, she knows her implants are hurting her and making her sick. And she's like, Brandy, I can't afford this, and there's no help. So I just sit in this pain all the time. And then it kills me when I share stuff about this, because I know she knows, and I know she wants them out, and she can't do anything to get them out. And it's like, it's just such a terrible circle. So that's why I'll just continue talking about it, because maybe enough people with the right money, with the right resources, with the right ability to change can change something, you know, or at least put the seed, you know, in people's mind that that's what it could be. Cause like, you didn't know until you found social media. Imagine if you didn't fall across that, you might still be here being like, what's wrong with me, and continually sick and not having any idea. At least now, you know, okay, it could be the implants. It could be the, you know, and you're working with someone that understands that it could be those things and validates that for you, which is hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be nice to get to a point one day where, like, you know, I don't think breast implants are going away necessarily, because there's always going to be a market for them. But if we got to a point where there was that notification at the start, like the informed consent, like, know that this is a risk, and this is the cost of explanting, and this is the potential physical outcome for you, then if people still decide to go ahead, cool, that's fine, that's their choice. But then also the fact that there's probably still so many people that don't know about it, and where you are seeing certain specialists for weird symptoms with no explanation, we want that to be something that's a question that's asked by that, you know, rheumatologist. Like, you're going to someone because you've got constant joint pain, but you've got no reason why you've got that joint pain. Like, you've covered everything. The only thing that makes it go away is like medication, but you're in your 30s. Like, that's the thing that I've heard people talking about.
Yeah.
Why, like, you know, why can't we get to a point where we go, okay, so do you have any weird, like, implanted devices? Because, like, for me, it wasn't just my implants. It was the IUD, like we talked about, that caused some of my joint pain to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they need to be questions that are asked, because there are so many people that are starting to speak up about this that, like, you know, it's just hard to get it to that point where they do recognize it medically. Because I guess doctors are stuck not being able to ask things and tell people stuff because it's not diagnosable. And I guess that's why things like those studies are super important.
Yes. And what upsets me is, I'm glad that there's one pushing through, because most of the girls that we talk to that have been a part of studies, they are there at the beginning, but there's no follow-up. There's no end. There's no conclusion. It just kind of dies. So they're like, oh, we did a study and blah, blah, blah. But then they don't follow through with it, or they don't listen. Like, we know girls on the show that have come on that said, I've been a part of a study, but no one's followed up in like 5, 6, 10 years. So, you know, I guess that study just died because there's no funding. And then nobody cares, because who's going to fund that, right? It's not going to be the surgeons, because the surgeons are like, I'm just putting in what people want, you know? It's just like, it's like when you look at drug dealers, it's like, I'm just giving people what they want. If they didn't, like, they'd get it somewhere else. And it's like, okay, but if we limit the resources, maybe they wouldn't, you know, if it was a bit harder to do. Or, you know, like, why do cigarette packages have like those nasty ass pictures, but like Botox and breast implants don't have the picture of like a fucking completely rock hard implant with the capsulectomy on the side, the
calcification through it,
and like slamming it down and it not doing anything.
That's the thing, we don't see the boxes.
No, that's what I mean, right?
This, I didn't realize until talking to Lauren, who she's done a part one, like we caught up before her surgery to record an episode, and she was saying that they actually take the implants out to soak them in a certain solution for a specific amount of time before they can put them in, just to avoid any nasties, like getting into them.
Bugs.
Before they're put into the bottom. Yeah, into the body, not into the bottom. You don't put breast implants.
There's that too. There's BBLs.
Yeah, there's that as well. And so they'd obviously take them out of the box and throw them in. Like, so if we did have those warnings, we wouldn't see them. Like, it needs to be something with, like, a pamphlet that's handed out at the time.
Like, this is the box that it comes into. Like a, you know how they show them? They show them on the outside and they're like, look, this is what you're going to get. And they play with them and like, look how rock hard they are. It's like, what's that fucking box? Where's that black box warning? Like, you know, and same with Botox. Botox comes with a black box warning. Most people have no idea. And it's like, well, how would you? You're not going to see the box. And chances are most people in the clinic probably don't even see that, because it's probably just loaded in. They just go in and do their thing. Like, it's there. Like, I have it on an episode with Dr. A. He read it right from wherever doctors get their information. And it says, like, right on there. And it's, and you know, there's no difference between cosmetic or medical. They don't really care. And that's the part I think that bothered me most jumping in this community, is when we had Robin on. And she was telling us, like, the minute she had her double mastectomy, it was immediately like, oh, you need breast implants to be a woman. And the rage that came over me when she told me that absolutely blew my mind. Cause I'm like, how dare anybody just tell her that she wasn't a woman because she just had a double mastectomy, and then put her at risk. And then she got BII, and she will say that that was worse than going through breast cancer. And I'm like, that, when she said that, I was like, what? Like, that. How, again, like, how is it? I can understand, but it's like, you know, when someone says they have breast cancer, that's so different when then someone is like, oh, they have BII. Like, to me, I feel like it's like one and the same. Like, you're still, like, your body's still attacking itself from, for some other reason, you know? It's like, why isn't that treated with the same, you know, because there's women that can die from it. Like, one of our girls, Bella from Canada, like, she was on her deathbed. Like, I'm dying. I'm dead. This is it. They don't know what's wrong with me. And then she found out by the TV, breast implant illness, now a thing. And she was like, hey, that's me. The doctors didn't say it. She figured it out, but she could have lost mm-hmm. her life, you know? So why is that not, why is this not, is it because it's attached to like, I don't know. I don't want to say like some form of like vulnerability maybe, like, you know, it's like, you don't want to expose yeah. yourself to that being real. I'm not sure, like cognitive dissonance of just being like, that's just her experience. It's not going to be mine, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because that would definitely happen. Like, if you had told me about that at 19, where I was like, oh my God, I'm finally going to look and feel normal, normal in quotation marks, yeah. I wouldn't have necessarily listened. But like, yes, it would have 100%. Been nice to have, because I know with Dr. K, who he had on, he talks about the fat transfer. And that's actually what I went yes. to go and see a surgeon about initially. But because of the tuberous breasts and the way that they looked and the tissue, the way it all was, he wouldn't have been able to do a fat transfer because there wasn't the volume to put it in there. But why wasn't it then talked about, okay, do tissue expanders, which is only a 6-month thing, still potentially releasing those toxins into your body, but it's a shorter term. And yep, then when they take them out, insert, do the fat transfer then. Like, why yes. isn't that an option? Like, I yes. was taking that over implants. Like, even at 19, it was a little bit like, oh, I'm going to have something odd in my body, but I'm like, yep. I'm going to look good, so it's fine. Like, I'll go with yes. it. But, yes. you know, to have a different, like, just a different pathway to getting
an option, like, any option. Yeah. That's why I was so blown away when I had him on. I was like, this is not talked about enough. No. Like, how is this type of surgery not like, you know, this is what, and the way he does it too, like respecting the body, because you know what, like, I love how he says that too, how it's like you go to sleep one way and then you wake up with a completely different body. Like, there is definitely a spiritual and mindful piece to that, that I feel that other surgeons and the way other people do it is so clinical. And I kind of yes. compared it to, which I know you listened to the episode, I kind of compared that to like a home birth versus like a birth in a hospital, where they've turned that into such, like, I'm not saying it's not beautiful, don't get me wrong. I know I haven't done it. I know we're not going to do it, but you know, it's kind of take that more to like a clinical, like you go in, you got a couple of days in, out, do this, and then boot them out the door, where it's like home birth. It's like, you're in your space, you're with your people, you're, you know, as peaceful as you can, as conscious as you can, as present, you know, easier said than done. I don't have to do it. So obviously I had home birth, but I know I don't ever have to do it. So easier said than done, but that's kind of what I feel like that altering of your body and honoring it to bring something more for yourself kind of got commercialized and materialized in a way where it's just like in and out. We don't care who you are. You're just a number, you know, breast implant illness. That's not a big deal. Like, I don't have time to talk to you about these things. I just want to get you in and out. And that's shitty to me. Yeah. I really wish that wasn't, I think that's my biggest beef of it. It's just, it's taken the personal out of it. And it's just, and maybe that makes it easier for them to do it, you know, if they don't look at these women as, you know, people and just a service that they're providing, maybe it's a little bit easier to ignore the thousands of women that are explanting and saying that they're feeling better. I don't know. Yeah. I don't do it so I can sleep at nighttime. Yeah. I don't think I'd be able to feel very good if I had heard that. I think I'd be like Dr. K and be like, what? Like, I don't know if I'm comfortable doing this anymore. And I think it's been 5 years since he's done that, you know? And so, again, come to that full moment, we know it needs to be there, but women need to be informed. And it's, again, to amazing warriors like yourselves who've gone through it, and they just don't want other people to go through that at all. So to end up like with this, so your healing is still going good. You feel,
yes.
you know, now that you have answers, as it's like probably becoming a little bit more validating, excuse me, for you yeah. as you go through this, of being like, I shouldn't just be living like this, right? Like,
yeah.
This exactly. isn't normal to just be sitting in this, even though I'm told that you're, imagine if you stopped when they said, oh, you're normal, your levels are fine.
Yeah. Where would I be now? Like, I would be, honestly, you hear of some people with breast implant illness being bedridden. I wasn't quite at that yes. point yet, but yeah. Like, you know, I did plan my life around, oh, if I went on this walk with this friend, one of my friends loves to do this massive walk at the beach, like 13 kilometers, right? I would have to make sure that was on a Saturday morning, so then I had enough time to sit around at home and recover from the joint pain from that, not knowing why. I was just like, oh, maybe that's just me. So
yeah,
I was definitely planning my life around what pain I would be living in. And like, you know, just even like changing my haircuts because I didn't have enough hair to keep mm-hmm. growing my hair long because so much was falling out. And yeah, so, you know, I'd still be here, but it wouldn't be a good, like, quality of life. Yeah. So I'm so glad that I did find the naturopath and that I feel heard and she cares and she knows what to do in my situation. Yeah. It's made a massive difference. Like the brain function, the pain, it's nowhere near as bad. I've got another issue with my feet, but I think that's completely like not connected to any of this other stuff. This is just like, you know, a bit of a season in my health that I'm just going to work through. But it's been a big journey. Another thing that I have done is some mindset coaching with a lady who I've actually had on my podcast. She has gone through explanting and she's got her own mindset coaching, and it was something that came up while we're actually recording her episode, and she's like, I actually think you need to work through this. And I did some mindset coaching with Cindy, which has been a massive help. I'm glad, like, going through this has been horrible, but I think it's all happened for a reason, because, you know, I've gone through this, I've been through other things in my life where I'm like, what can I learn from this situation? Like, I don't want to hold on to these feelings of like, oh, why did I do this, or why didn't I do that? Mm-hmm. So I learned from that. Okay, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
And when it comes to breast implant illness, like, I'm not going to do that again. It's not an option. Nope. But yes, I can help people, which can maybe aid with my healing. So that's why I started the podcast. That's why I'm sharing the other stories now. And, you know, other things that I'm working on behind the scenes is like putting some resources together for people, and I just want them to be free. I don't want to make, like, I don't make any money off of the podcast. I pay money to distribute
I pay
podcast.
Money too.
Like, I'm out of like pocket.
Oh, you must make money. I'm like, well, we're Canadian, so Spotify does not pay us. YouTube, well, we're getting striked every couple of months there, so they're not paying us. So I'm not sure where everyone thinks you get paid for podcasts. But unless you have like
you have
sponsors,
to have a lot of listens and sponsors and stuff. Yeah. And that's not something I've looked into. That's not why I'm doing this. So that's like one thing when it comes to, there's just a lot of people out there that are trying to capitalize on breast implant illness and, you know, trying to sell something or be an expert in something they're actually not qualified to be an expert in. So anything like I've been doing, it's kind of like, this is what helped me and this is what has helped other people that I've spoken to. So I've just got some, like, just a couple of documents that I'm actually, a couple of people who have contacted me recently to say they're explanting, I'm like, do you mind like trialing this to see if it helps you? Give me some feedback, because I want to put it online. So that's something that's sort of coming up next for me. There's a few episodes that I'm wanting to do, one that we're going to record hopefully in the next few months. Which will be very interesting. I won't sort of do any spoilers, but I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yes, same.
I haven't finished the research on that, but it's so interesting. So
we can have it maybe on our first meeting anniversary, like just another Christmas before Christmas treat or something like that in a couple months. Yeah. And then that way it's been a year since you have been on there, and then we can dive in, because I want to dive into that too. You know, like, it's just so hard. Like, I know you probably feel the same way. Like, there's not enough time in the day. Like, I know you're saying you're doing one a week is a lot. We tried last season and we did it for 5 months. We did 2 episodes a week, and it was amazing, but holy shit. It's not even the recording and the episodes and talking to individuals. It's the content creating after that I find.
I'm not very good at that.
So much. Oh, me neither, man. And I'm like trying to watch videos on how to do Descript and how to do Reels and how to do Pinterest. I'm like, but at the same time, I'm like, I want people to hear. I want people to come into the community. I want to put it all in there so that people can come in and share their stories, so I can bring more people. Like, the amount of people that have reached out to me about breast implant illness and have thanked me, either in the community itself, people that are advocates, or women that had no idea, were like, thank you. And I was like, this is worth more money. Like, I don't want a sponsor because I don't want to be told what I can say. And I don't want to be told at one point being like, you can't stand up for the people that are controversial or hurt, or because I always feel like there's always something to everything. You know what I mean? Like, there's crazy people, but majority, when someone's going through an experience, that, like,
it's valid.
You gotta listen. It's
a
valid
story to share. There'll be other people out there that are going through something similar or the same, that are going, oh crap, that's me as well. Like, I don't feel so alone. It's funny because when you're talking about the advocates, I don't necessarily feel like I'm a massive advocate or anything. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like overly dramatic about about it.
Fair.
It's like, you know, this has happened to me. I'm trying to help people to potentially not make that decision, maybe if they come across a podcast, or helping them to get through explanting if that's a decision that they make. But I'm not dramatic about it. I'm not fiery about it or anything. Like, I'm just me. But some of the bigger names in the breast implant illness industry in the US talk about my podcast. I'm like, what? Like, little old me? Like, I do this, like, this is my home office / music room / book room.
Office.
Like, it's just, I just do this from home. This is not a professional entity by any means. We don't earn any money from this. It's just something that I've been doing on the side, and people are talking about it, and they're like, oh, like, Heidi Brown, I know you've had her on your podcast as well. She's like, oh, I know people in my area that are interested in talking about breast implant illness. I'm like, oh, you know, give them my details, like, get them to reach out, and they can jump on the podcast at any stage. So, like, the fact that people talk about little old Bianca from Adelaide blows my mind.
Yeah, but to me, I'm like, you're all of Australia. Like, that's it. Like, she's Australia.
Bianca is Australia.
She is. That's it. That's all. That's it for me. I do watch some comedians from there on YouTube that make me laugh all the time, because I do love, I feel like, you know, people always talk about, like, British humor, and I'm like, yeah, but Australian humor, though, is my favorite, because it's like, it's not as, like, dry as British, I find. It's just there's just more character to it. There's more I don't even know what, just more substance or something. But yeah, I'm the same way too. Like, when I've, sorry, go ahead.
We don't care about, like, how we look when we do it. I think, like, our comedians just, there's some really funny ones out there for sure.
They are. I love it. I love watching all of them, especially the controversial ones. They make me laugh because they're not afraid to be quote unquote canceled. They're just like, I'm going to say it, and I'm not going to let comedy die. And I'm like, y'all have to listen to, like, Australian comedy, because they're just great over there. But I'm the same way too. When, like, even like I said, when Dr. K came on, I was just, like, kind of blown away, and I had to take a step back for a second, and, you know, I just asked, I was just like, hey, would you want to come on the show? And he was like, I would love to. And I was like, you know, we always put ourselves in such of these small boxes sometimes. And we think, you know, no one's going to want to come on my show. No one will. But you know what? It's so opposite. I find like, if you just ask, like, and sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes you book and it just, you know, the timing doesn't work out. But it's like, I had to tell myself, like, this, especially this season coming up, like, ask the people that you make you nervous about it, because you think that you're nobody to them, but they're just like, they're so honored that you ask them. And every single time it's the same thing. So I'm always the same way. Like, oh, I don't even have BI. I've never even had it. But when I do talk to those women, and like yourself, you know, like, to you guys think I'm also, like, a big advocate in that sense. And it's just like, and then I get thanks for all the things that I say. And it's just like, it's such a humbling moment. And in those moments, you're like, this is why I don't give a shit about making money on it. Because knowing that I'm standing up for somebody, that I feel I've made someone feel validated, or that I've planted a seed, or, you know what, if I trigger you and piss you off, good. I hope that I continue to do so. And I hope y'all continue to trigger me, because we need to work through all the uncomfortable. And I think that's the beautiful thing, is that unfortunately with life, we're all going to have to go through our uncomfortable. It just looks different. Some people have to go through infertility. Some people have to go through autoimmune diseases. Some people have to go through cancer or loss or both, or, you know, and it sucks. And like, I always have that, like, mentality of like, oh, it could be worse. I could have it worse. Other people have it worse. But then you also do a disservice of yourself to not honoring your healing and the hurt that your hurt caused, right? Yeah. So I think it's always good to have that balance of being like, yeah, it could be worse, but, like, it's also okay to be upset about the hurt that you're going through, you know? And it's also okay to have, like we talked about earlier about the fires, like, almost a survivor's guilt. Like, I don't have it as bad as someone else, so I don't feel like I deserve to be upset or hurt, you know? But I just think that that's doing everyone a disservice, and you have to really work through it. But I think all of us have to go through something. Unfortunately, we have to go through that darkness, and I think that's why we share it, is so that you don't feel alone and you don't feel like you're the only person, or that you're not going to get through it. You know, there could be a honeymoon phase of your healing for sure, where you're like, yeah, I feel so much better. Like, you know, for me, when I got better with anxiety, I was like, I have no anxiety. And then I got, like, started driving in the winter. I was like, oh, dear Lord, it's back. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't fully healed here yet. So, you know, that's okay. I gotta work through it. So, you know, yeah, I think I think people like you are amazing. And I'm so grateful that our paths crossed. And I shitty that it had to be because you're boobies. And I'm so sorry. I wish that they could have been everything and that it was a topic about, you know, like your great experience with it. But thank you for being a voice, you know, for people that are afraid to. Thank you for being Australia to us on the Be Real Bay podcast. You're all of Australia to us. So please don't ever think that you are a small advocate. You're a very huge one. And I'd say that you're, from what I know, one of the biggest ones in the entirety of it. But for sure, you were it for Australia for us. But with that being said, can you share your handles and where they can find you for podcast listening if you want to hear more? Because, you know, it's just like this on all of her. She's the same way. Vibe's great.
Yeah, so on Instagram and Facebook, I've got a Facebook page now. it's just under Could It Be II podcast. So instead of the word B, it's the acronym BII. And I do release video episodes. I got the idea from you. Thank you, Brandy. On YouTube, where possible, because it's not always possible. Yes. But I do release video episodes on YouTube and I'm on all sorts. Like I just hit okay to everything because you just never know who you're going to reach by doing that. But it's like Spotify, 100%. Apple, Deezer, Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
Anywhere that podcasts Castbox. Are.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere. Right?
Do you do Anchor as well and just upload to Anchor and just let it fly out? Because Anchor, the Spotify? Oh, okay. The way I do it is like Anchor, it's called Anchor, but now Spotify has bought it. So it's like the podcast version of Spotify. And that's where we started. And then they are all of a sudden like, oh, we can do video and you're going to trial it. And so we decided to trial it. And season 4 was our first season because it would allow you to upload video through Spotify. And because we had done so many episodes, you know, I'm not saying we have tons of views, but I've been very consistent in posting for the last like 2 and 3 years. They allowed us to be a part of the pilot program. So that's why season 4 was on video and how we jumped onto Riverside.
I always wondered how you got that.
Yeah. And so I was like,
it doesn't look like it's an option for how I do it because I use a company that distributes it for me, which is where some of that money goes. Yeah. Like you pay to have it distributed for you. It's not a huge amount, but
that's fair. Anchor's free. Anchor's free. Just maybe I'll send you the link to that and it's free. And so it goes to, so you just upload there. And that's where we used to record because it was all audio. So we would record all through Anchor. We would have it there. If you go to our previous episodes, like in the first couple seasons, you'll hear us cursing it. And then when they said do the video, we're like, okay, so now we have to make it outside of Anchor and then upload. And that's how we came to Riverside. Right. And so then, we started doing that. We're like, well, this is kind of perfect because we wanted to be on YouTube. And like, I know when I watch videos on YouTube, I don't watch the people, but I like that there's a video. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, I don't watch
the subtitles there.
Yes.
And I'm a very visual person, so I like to at least see what people look like. And it's not a shallow thing. It's just so I can visualize them talking. But then to have the subtitles for me tends to keep my attention on it.
Yes. Definitely. And so we're like, oh, perfect. Now we can go on YouTube and Rumble and, you know, hit those video platforms. So it's just been really cool. And I love how both of us, and I can see it too, your podcast, like you learn new things. Like you said, now you've got a Facebook page and like, that's just what the cool thing is when your hobby or so passionate about it is that like, I'm not here to make a dollar overnight. I'm not here to just have one season and walk away. I'm here for at least 10 and I'm going to keep going and I'm going to keep learning. And you guys are going to watch me as I learn and fumble through my intros and through learning how to edit and how to do all that. And I think that's why people relate to us, right? Because we're, like you said, we don't have to show up in this amazing studio to share people's voices and experiences. So please keep doing that. Everyone go and follow this angel. You guys will love her just as much as I do. Anybody in the community, if you guys want to go on either of our shows, we would absolutely love it. There's going to be more from us this year. We won't ruin it, but this won't be the end of the double B's here on both shows. So Bianca, thank you so much for spending your Sunday mid-afternoon. We're learning the time differences on my Saturday night. We're getting so good. We actually got it. I actually had the time zones perfect. I didn't screw that up this time.
You had Adelaide, not Sydney.
We did. Yes, exactly. But you're just all of Australia. So it's a good thing you dialed that down for me because I just, you're just the whole thing. But guys, follow her, follow us. Thank you guys so much for listening, for showing up. Until next time. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional.
You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_ii_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.